Well, hello there. I didn't know I'd be having visitors so soon. I'm the Script Keeper, and may I welcome you to my house. Collected in these halls exists every terrifying tale, sinister script, and nightmarish narrative ever told around a Hollywood boardroom. Take this one, for instance, The Bechdel Betrayal, in which two idiot podcasters, Matt and Tom, invite two female writers, Jenny and Katie, to record a podcast at the obviously haunted mansion, where those unsolved murders happened. You know the ones. I've seen many of these movies in my time, and you and I both know someone's not making it out alive. We open on an establishing shot of the old DeBon estate. The front door opens by itself as our unwitting victims cluelessly enter.
The door opened by itself. That's a welcoming touch.
Novel, isn't it?
Yeah. Fancy.
Thanks for joining us here at the writers' retreat, Katie, Jenny.
Thanks for coming. It's,
you're welcome. It's my pleasure.
I think the constant thunderstorm and whistling winds. Give it a really nice homely touch.
Mm. Atmospheric. Makes you feel cosy inside.
Cobwebs and the howling. Just, I love it.
Yeah, I like animals, so
yeah.
All these spiders.
I feel like it's one with nature.
Feet.
One with nature here.
I mean, really?
What?
Yeah. Get a blanket. Lovely.
This place is obviously haunted, guys.
No.
Oh, come on.
No, mate.
Tom, listen, I know you're a big fan of, like, the fake news media, all right, who'll have told you about those murders, but...
No, they happened. They were unsolved, but the people died.
Someone told me that... Yeah, exactly. I couldn't have said it better than myself.
Yeah.
Yawn, Tom. We're here for this exact reason. Our writing is getting stale because you keep believing some old tripe. We need to bring in two fresh-faced female writers who are coming to the world with a different viewpoint so that we don't have to deal with this tried and tested, I need evidence bullshit.
So, whatever. I'm going to go to the car, grab the podcasting equipment. You guys...
I'll set it up. Yeah, it's fine. I've got. I'll put the blow up furniture out.
Okay.
The
blow up furniture from the '90s.
Yeah.
Those see through.
Well, the stuff I
see through inflatable sofas.
I had it in storage.
Purple.
Yeah.
Everything comes round in fashion cycles.
Exactly. Yeah.
We're back.
It's really nice.
It's a problem.
Going back to the
don't criticise everything, Tom.
Oh my God.
Shut up. Come on in. Tom, sod off and get the stuff. We'll go and set up for the podcast.
Hello there.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey, welcome to my writer's retreat. You must be Matt.
Yeah. Yes. I booked the. Me and Tom booked. He's just outside. We booked the spots. On the writer's retreat, Wes?
Yeah, yeah, the part of the Life's a Pitch podcast.
Yes, yeah, 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 absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, it's a good show, I hear. I've never listened to it myself.
It's...
Who are these
Hi.
People?
Hi, I'm...
Sorry.
You never said you'd be bringing guests.
This is, Jennifer Garner at that one, and Katie Lidster. They're writers here with us. They're going to be helping us out.
Two women.
Is that going to be a problem? I mean...
No problem at all!
You said there were...
No! No! Problem at all!
All right.
Don't, whatever you do, let them be in a scene together.
That's a very strange and nebulous concept you just warned...
Just don't.
...us about.
All right.
But, I mean, that shouldn't be too difficult. This is the Life's a Pitch podcast.
I'm going to go and do some work.
Okay, good. So are we. We're going to go and pitch some movies, if you don't mind, of the horror genre. I'm sure, given the setting, this is quite appropriate.
This homely place.
Yeah.
Where my family lived for centuries until they all died.
Oh, I really like what you've done with the place. It's really nice.
Don't talk to another woman about it.
Well, that's a bit weird, but...
Okay.
I mean, right. Why would I?
See you later, mysterious
Kay.
Fellow.
I'm going now.
All right.
Bye.
Goodbye.
In here.
Bye.
In here, all right.
Oh,
yeah.
Matt, right.
I've got the equipment, guys.
Let's sit down and
start. Who was that?
That was the fella we emailed him about the. This is the guy who owns the property for the writers' retreat.
All right, cool.
I did say we'd bring in two guests. I think he didn't seem to have a problem.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah. Well, let's get set up and get some pitching done.
Yeah, man. Welcome to Life's a Pitch, the podcast where we pitch the best films that'll never get made. I'm Matt Turner.
And I'm Tom McGrath. And the game goes like this. We ask you, our devoted listeners, to come up with titles that you'd like to hear us pitch.
We then collaborate, coming up with story points, casting, and even marketing strategies.
Without further ado, this week's title is... Belly Button.
Oh, no.
That one from Jasmine Marr. Thank you, Jasmine, for that one.
Jasmine.
I've got a lot to start off with on this one.
Yep.
I've got
a lot
of feelings.
Okay, well, we'll save them until after the honourable mentions.
Honourable mentions. How can people give us titles, Matt?
All these titles came from Twitter and Facebook. There's Twitter at Life's a Pitch Show and facebook.com/Life's a Pitch Podcast and Instagram at Life's a Pitch Show. You can send us titles all you like, really. Any time of the week, you can send us those. But on a sort of end of the week kind of time, Friday, Saturday-ish area, we'll put out a post of a genre for you to conform to if you're happy staying in our creative box. Just stay there and never deviate, which you can send us titles for and
we'll pitch them as movies. Joining us on the podcast in this very spooky house for the Halloween horror month that we're doing is Jennifer Garner, not that one, and Katie Lister.
Hiya.
Welcome to the show.
They really do seem scared.
Yeah, and they should be because we're pitching horror movies.
Oh, my favourite genre.
Are you not a fan of the horror genre?
I mean, we probably do this every time along with Halloween, and I just have not ever seen any horror films ever, so I'm the worst point of reference. But hey, that's what I'm here for.
Yeah, I mean, you don't need to reference horror movies to know what's horrifying.
That's true. Just look into my own soul.
Jenny, are you a fan of horror movies?
I mean, I've seen a lot of them. A bit shit, aren't they?
They not tend
the
greatest, to be. They
not
usually
the
greatest, are bad.
A bit rubbish. But can be quite good.
Do you want to hear some honourable mentions?
Yes.
So, from Jeff Beard, we've got Night of the Lovely Sleepy Sleep.
So, it's one part not Nightmare on Elm Street, and two parts not Nightmare of the Living Dead. Night of the Living Dead, sorry.
Night of the Lovely Sleepy Sleep.
I think this is, like, a Freddy Krueger style, mm-hmm. Like babysitter, like who, like, gives kids medicine to put them to sleep, but it kills them, and sort of that.
I feel like
that sort of vibe.
A babysitter would give the kids medicine to put them to kill them would get arrested
very
quickly.
No,
it's like an angel of death, isn't it? Like angel of death, like one of those nurses that kills all the patients because it makes it feel good.
I think there is something there's someone who's sort of giving everyone really good sleep. Like, someone's like, oh, he's like a snake oil salesman sort of thing, where hey, I've got this tonic that'll help you sleep really well. And then sort of, you're like, oh my God, I did sleep really well. Oh my goodness, Mr. Kevin Knight.
Kevin Knight?
It's Knight of the... Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He gives him the sleep, and then just he says, like, he's a travelling salesman that's just sort of walking down the road.
Popped up, his stall appears in the on a corner, and...
Yeah, it's sort of 1950s America, sort of suburban, and he goes, just count the sheep before you go to sleep. Like a radio jingle he's got for himself.
Okay, has he put that on local radio as well?
It's on local radio. And so John Hamm, he's like an insomniac. He needs sleep, so he counts.
He's the local radio presenter in the mornings, right? Because he's got to sleep really early, but he's an insomniac.
Yeah.
So his day, he's struggling with life at the moment because he can't sleep. This is sounding more and more like Groundhog Day. he can't sleep, and then this guy comes to him and says, hey, I would like to... It's Tim Curry, of course. let me key into him. Have a lovely day. Who did you say was playing
John Hamm?
John Hamm.
Okay, so he's like, hello, John Hamm's character. I heard that you were having trouble sleeping.
Like, yeah, I've been having trouble sleeping. Like, I've been trying everything. I just need something dark. You are a qualified doctor, right?
Oh, sure. I'm a doctor. A doctor of sleepy sleep. I tell you what, here, have this bottle. The first one's free. If I can have a radio advert spot at your local radio station. The jingle goes like this, and then what was the song you sang before?
Count some sheep, go to sleepy sleep.
Yeah,
that. Night, sleepy sleep, juice.
Okay. That's exactly what it sounds like. Yeah. Basically, it's all the rage in this town. Everyone starts buying it. Mm. But John Hamm, because he's an insomniac, he still can't sleep, so he throws the bottle away. It didn't work on him.
No.
He throws the bottle away. He's like, this is rubbish. But everyone else is getting this amazing sleep. Just the best sleep in the world. They're feeling so rested, invigorated the next day. And then the murders start.
I've got it. The murders do start. The murders happen. But also, eventually, John Hamm counts sheep as he falls to sleep.
Right.
And as he's falling to sleep, one of these sheep that's counting jumps over the hedge or whatever and then looks directly at him.
Turns to the camera.
It's the voice of Tim Curry.
They all have Tim Curry's face.
Someone's been a bad boy, haven't they? You killed people in the war. That's why he can't sleep. He has,
people in the war.
PTSD flashbacks.
Yeah.
You killed people in the war, didn't you? Johnny boy. And then the sheep bears these giant fangs and chases John Hamm across fields in his sleep as he's dreaming. And he has to try and wake up.
So that's how it ends.
Battling various incarnations of Tim Curry as farmyard animals.
Yeah. Like,
And then, so he works out... I don't want this to be too close to Nightmare on Elm Street, which is this currently kind of just is.
I mean, yeah, but
that
like...
Means that meets the... Oh, what's there is a Stephen King book, which is this, by the way.
Just
a shop
two.
Pops up, and it's like, Needful Things. It's a shop pops up, and it's like, oh, it's got exactly that thing you wanted in it, and you can buy it for a really cheap price, but it has consequences.
Oh, it's that Rick and Morty.
It's that Rick and Morty episode is what it is.
Yeah, the cursed items.
Yeah,
so it's that. Sort of, it's those two smashed into one film.
Kind of. I sort of wanted there to be a sort of an effect on the people who are having the best sleep.
Yeah,
they too much good, amazing sleep.
They get too addicted to sleep, and then there's the guy goes.
They start.
Tim Curry
start
leaves.
Killing. No, people start killing themselves to have the best sleep of all.
No. People do start killing themselves to have the best sleep of all. They also stop listening to the radio, and as we know. From podcasting, the worst nightmare is no one's listening. So he's like, ah! No one's listening to my radio show. Scary.
Yeah,
I don't think that's the main spook.
No, I know. It's just one of the little ones off by the wayside. It's still terrifying.
I like
that jump scare.
Yeah.
No, it's not your voice!
I mean, ratings have come in and they're low. No!
Writers already have this problem of writing too many films where, like, being the centre of attention is a good thing. And then so many people who don't like being the centre of attention are just like, what? Why would you want to have, like, a destiny where you were the centre of attention? Just leave me alone.
Should we move on?
Yeah.
From Connor Lavelle, we've got I Am On Fire Today. This is in reference to how many titles he put up before he got to this. And in brackets is like, not a movie title, though it could be. So, I Am On Fire Today.
That definitely works.
So, I want to say that... I don't know.
It's like a high school...
No, I was going to say Jake Gyllenhaal is a firefighter. And he's on leave because he lost a friend, a colleague, on the job.
Oh.
His best friend, his best man.
Oh,
they were essentially brothers, and he's taken leave to sort of to clear his head, have that sort of thing. I think maybe we find that out a little bit later. It's a little bit kind of M. Night Shyamalan where you don't know why he's. He's off work, but, like, you know he's off work, and they call it, like, sick leave.
Oh,
right?
Nice. Twists are coming. Can't wait.
Oh, I genuinely cannot wait for this twist.
I mean, I know what this is in my head.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite a simple twist, really, because the film's called I'm On Fire Today. Guy starts thinking, like, well, he starts... seeing fires that aren't there, like, and starts thinking that he's accidentally causing them.
So okay.
Whenever he goes somewhere, he imagines that, like, for instance, he goes past a it's in New York. He's a New York firefighter, and he goes past a bistro, and he goes in, and it's got all these candles on the tables. And basically, every time he sees a source of where he thinks, because he's a firefighter, he knows where a source of where he thinks fire could come from. He has an image. You kind of cut to him leaving, and he has these flashes of him basically accidentally starting the fire, and then he sees the whole place on fire and stuff, and he has to run away. And then, like, towards the end, this starts happening, and it gets worse and worse in this kind of like imaginary Black Swan style. Breakdown, and then eventually he just thinks he's on fire, and he's wandering through New York screaming.
Oh my god.
I mean I thought it was gonna be like spontaneous human combustion, but all right,
okay, if you got a thread that goes with that, go for it.
Well, I mean it was in some ways.
Yeah,
I think I prefer that. I was
imaginary
sort of
human combustion.
I'm better, let's do that. That's
IHC.
Fine. Yeah.
You know, right. That thing that happens.
It wasn't a very funny one, to be honest. Spontaneous human combustion would have been funnier.
It's quite a good film, actually. I kind of want to see it.
Yeah. So we've got one here from Joe Thompson, and that is the dog vomiter.
Whoa! That's your torture porn zone, isn't it? That's your sore hostel style nastiness.
Katie, you got any ideas for this one?
I'm trying to. I mean, is this a dog vomiting or somebody that like Ron and the Slugs? But dogs.
That was going to be my question.
Like the dog whisperer.
And not small dogs like Jack Russell. I'm talking like Great Dane.
No,
Labrador.
I think it's definitely the latter.
Yeah, if we're talking creepy horror, human centipede
like
style.
It is a man who somehow is cursed to vomit up dogs.
No, I've got
I was going to say Sarah Michelle Gellar, but all right.
Okay, don't, yeah, it should be. It should listen.
Maybe
I'll defer to your. I think Sarah Michelle Gellar would look great. Like it would be. Would it be a great fit for a woman vomiting up dogs?
It's going to have on this, like in The Grudge, right? This is what I'm going from The Grudge. Is from that, like she's in the shower. And suddenly she's like, oh, this like paw starts coming out of her mouth. And it's just really grotesque, like, this dog, like, crawling its way out.
Think of that imagery, but add Sex and the City rom-com style to it. So
the whole thing is
she's getting married, but she's got a secret. She vomits dogs.
The whole thing is a PETA, like a PETA promotional video for stop eating dogs. If all the dogs you ate in your lifetime came back.
None of them.
Well, how do you know? You processed supermarket food.
It's the point that it's PETA are the real horror.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I quite like the idea that she's trying to sort of suppress this thing, the secret from this new man she's got in her life.
I think this is it, right? She has that rom-com plot, and it starts as Peter R. paying her as a character. That's the plot of the film, was Peter trying to get her to do this film about dogs, and then she's like, no, I'm not doing it. And so Peter curse her to literally actually have to vomit dogs.
As an old animal woman rights from, activist.
As an old witch. Hooded woman with a Peter badge on. Like,
you give me some money for the animals.
You know what? Sarah Michelle Gellar is wearing like a fur, like a mink fur coat. And she's walking down the street. She is hot. Property. Oh, she's a fashion designer, right? She's like, oh, everyone's like, hey, Sarah Michelle Gellar character, I'm gonna see you at the thing tonight. And she's like, probably not, because I'm too cool for you. And then she's walking past, and there is an old lady in a robe, and she's like, got a Peter badge, like you said, and she says,
money for the animals.
And she's like, shut up, old woman, and she pushes her over. And
wow.
Yeah.
Like, I think just ignoring her would be...
No. Listen, let's go back to the fundamentals, horror 101. You have to be given a reason to dislike a character before they're put through hell. Whether that be judgments about their sexuality, or whether it be them not taking the situation seriously enough, they will always be given. You will always be given a reason, however good, to want them dead.
I love how this has got a kind of Beauty and the Beast vibe to it.
Yeah.
So I think there's a time limit so that she can stop the curse if she falls in love with someone. That's her problem. She can't fall in love. She's allergic to commitment.
She doesn't love anyone but herself.
Yeah, yeah.
She's vain.
I've got a really important question. Do the dogs come out alive?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, we both went, but yeah.
Because then we have to have the, like, Ezio Trot-style plot of having to look after all of these dogs as she vomits more and more of them up.
Well, yeah, she starts off not liking them, but
so
after a while...
So she can meet a dog walker, like...
The climax of the film, right, is... They've gone out for a walk. He's a dog walker, but he's also... he's a very outdoorsy guy. and they go out for a walk in the mountains. He's like, oh, I'll be back, going out to get firewood. Gets lost and breaks his leg out somewhere. And then she vomits up dogs to go and find him. To save him from the mountain terror. It's like, what's that film where he cuts his own, like, eats his own hand off?
27 hours.
Yeah, that one. It's like that. He's in the middle of doing that when she finds him with her vomit dogs.
She vomits up some dogs.
And it's...
like, her jaw dislocates off her mouth and dogs crawl out.
Bloodhound is the best smeller of all the breeds.
And she rides him.
Obscenely large.
Clifford! She vomits Clifford!
She rides a giant vomit Clifford.
Yeah.
Clifford the big green and brown dog.
bits of spaghetti in there.
Carrots and peas.
A little bit sweet corn.
Stuck in its hair. That is horrifying.
Too much.
Clifford the big phlegm dog.
That was...
Wow.
Yeah. That was the dog vomiter.
I feel like we're not doing good at sticking to horror, are we?
That was a great horror movie. Wouldn't you be scared?
It was a rom-com slash adventure. It was merely a rom-com.
A rom-com adventure movie.
Finding him in the woods.
Don't worry about it.
I think people will be freaked out by Sarah Michelle Gellar vomiting.
Detaching her jaw. Yeah. And then just... like properly convulsing. And then just this giant... You know, like how... It's like they're in this these like mucus sacs at first. Yeah. Like they've just been born. You know in Lord of the Rings when the Uruk-hai out of the mud? It's like that. So she just like... Her stomach expands and just suddenly... And this bubble of dog comes out and it...
I'm scared.
Should we go into the last...
Yeah, today's winner, by the way, for our... Yes, very clever award, is Evilly Blonde.
Evilly Blonde.
That's from Brandon Spanky Mills. Thanks, Brandon, for
Cheers,
that one.
Cheers, Brandon.
That's
pretty good, to be fair. I would like to see that, but it does explain itself.
And we have a new section as well. A competition I've started on Twitter. You've got to pitch a film in under 140 characters based on the titles we give you.
Yes.
And we've had some pretty good responses, to be honest.
What was the title this week?
The title this week was Looks Like Flies.
Looks Like Flies.
Mm. So the winner this week is Brandon Spanky Mills.
He won two awards!
He won two awards!
In 1 week!
He's winning these awards. Person forgets the word airplane and has to try to get people to understand him.
Very good.
Looks like flies. Thanks everyone for contributing. I know we got a few from Cyber Connor, Ross Originals, Dwatg, and Tommy Tomolinski. So yeah, thank you for contributing to that one. We'll do another one next week.
Yes.
Title TBC.
Mm-hmm.
Just follow us on at Life's a Pitch Show on Twitter to get your pitch into the hat.
Do that. And while you're there, you could give us a follow. You can go to facebook.com/Life's a Pitch Podcast. Or, if you're enjoying the show, you could go over to patreon.com/Life's a Pitch Podcast, where you can pop us just a little bit of money in the change jar. Just a tiny, tiny sliver of financial coinage. If you think that two episodes of the Life's a Pitch Podcast, as in this episode and the deleted scenes, are worth... like 25 cents, then maybe consider...
A week,
Maybe consider popping us a dollar a month over on Patreon. You get access to a load of bonus stuff. You can vote on the genre each week, except for now, because it's just horror.
Different versions of horror.
Oh, yeah. Mm. You've got loads to look forward to. Mm. And you can also get a bonus pitch each week. You can get movie commentaries, behind-the-scenes stuff, all sorts of stuff over there. So it really does help us out when you go over there and give us a little bit of cash.
Yeah, if you don't want to give us a little bit of cash, you could always support the show by rating us on iTunes and basically anywhere we can listen to podcasts. And there's a rating system.
And telling a friend, because, let's be honest, we put... we have zero money to put into promoting this podcast. We can't afford to buy adverts or sort of get plugs on radio. So, it's one of those things where it's really helpful if you tell your friends.
Yeah. So, we are in this spooky haunted house for our Halloween first...
Normal house.
To you, it is normal, apparently. It looks there's cobwebs everywhere. That's how I describe
texture.
There's a flickering light.
Atmospheric.
I don't know where that's coming from, because there ain't no bulbs.
Did you see the guy that owns the place?
Yeah.
He looks like he's killed people.
A short, squat figure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Glasses.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Matilda's dad.
Yes, does a little bit look a little bit like Matilda's dad.
Yeah, go on. Yeah.
I did, when I first saw him, I did go like, Omoy.
Omoy.
In my head.
I just saw him walking past earlier on with like two spears.
What?
Yeah, I know, right? That was really weird. I was like,
maybe he's...
What's he got those two for?
Maybe he's going to make us like a hog roast.
Probably,
campfire.
Or some kind of team building exercise.
Yeah.
So yeah, on with today's main title, and that is from Jasmine Marr, and it is Belly Button.
Belly Button?
Yes. Terrifying.
It is pretty scary. They are kind of...
They
can
weird.
Be pretty weird.
Especially those half in, half out.
That you're describing me.
Get out!
It was me all along.
Are you gonna show it us?
No.
Why not?
I'm ashamed of it. I'm ashamed of my body.
Oh, no, I just made it worse.
Although, to be honest, right, when I was a kid, it started half in and half out. As I've got older and fatter, it's definitely more in now.
What, isn't it supposed to go the other way? Like, when you're pregnant...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like,
pops
yeah.
out.
No, because it's like... I think it's just like it's tethered to something in there. So as the fat goes round it, it sort of pushes it out, and pops it inwards.
Oh, yeah. They're so weird.
They're horrible, aren't they?
Jasmine Moss seems to have gotten onto an unexplored avenue of horror movies.
Because if, like, a Pokemon really, like, very unpleasant experience, don't want it, apparently that's weird.
Oh, really? No, yeah. I'm always checking for lint. It's like a nervous tick I've got.
And it hurts when you poke it. Really.
Yeah, there's like a really hurt. It's like, there's like a string that goes like right
inside
through you.
Yeah. That you poke.
Yeah.
So, okay. Belly button, right?
Is it? I mean, we have some options, I think.
I think we do have some options.
We've got some options. Is it just like an hour and a half of people's belly buttons?
Well, kind of.
Close-up shots just of people's belly buttons.
Some of them like really filthy and like... or is there an actual story narrative? Because there probably should be.
Well, okay, so belly buttons are... Let's think sort of body horror, existential horror. What do they do? Well, they are a way as a baby in the womb to feed, aren't they? To eat, right? So what if someone's belly button is someone's belly button is opening up like the start of GoldenEye. like iris effects of the lens.
It's like teeth.
And it just opens up and then just eats people.
Like in The Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chompy chomp.
Nick Frost is on a diet and he's one of these fad diets when he's eating nothing, but he's not losing any weight and he can't figure out why.
I know where this is going.
I don't know. You go carry on, please.
Well, before we get to that, opening scene, person walks down an alleyway.
Yeah.
Middle of the night, and you just hear this thing going through the rubbish or whatever.
Yeah.
And then person's like, hello? Who? This isn't funny anymore, guys. hello? And, yeah, all you see is garbage bin bags thrown into the air.
Yeah.
Cut to a quick snapshot of this giant belly button with gaping, horrible blood teeth.
I think you just see this, like, hairy belly. Not to be mistaken for Halle Berry.
It's voiced by Halle Berry.
Hairy belly.
All you see is that, like, with, like, teeth and blood just spewing out of the, yeah, of the belly button. And a scream, and then cut to Nick Frost going jogging.
Yeah.
He's on a diet, and I think then he goes to the pub where he meets Simon Pegg,
of course. Yeah. Why not?
He's like, I've been doing this diet, right,
for a month now,
and I'm just not losing any weight. What's up with that?
where do they live?
London somewhere.
It's gonna be London, it.
Like, yeah, sort of. They live kind of cool area of London, sort of Camden. Kind of town.
Yeah.
Where the cool kids hang out down there.
All cool dudes.
Yeah.
All the cool, sinful dudes.
Cool, coolly, cool, cool.
Yeah, it's a wretched hive of scum and villainy. It's
Camden.
Yeah. So.
Camden Market.
I mean, I was there this week and that's about right.
I think we can probably, like, fast forward through, like, they find out about some... What do they do as jobs? Because they're going to have to find out... Is he a paramedic?
I think Nick Frost is a mortician.
Nick Frost is a mortician. Simon Pegg is
a journalist who's, like, yeah, piecing together all these weird bits of story. And he gets an inside scoop from Nick Frost.
I want to say that they have a friend played by... what's her at Broadchurch?
Olivia Colman.
Everything ever made.
Yeah, everything ever made. She's a midwife.
Yeah.
And so, like, they're like a group that go to the pub together, right? And he's like, oh, I've been trying, and she's the one who turned him onto this diet and whatever, this fad diet, and
kind of a little romance going on there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. If you like.
Where she's interested, he's not.
Yeah. Yeah. And
he's subconscious.
Yeah, exactly. You know, he actually doesn't like to be seen naked. He's just, he has to always have sex with the lights off. Is that, I'm just character building, not
never nude.
And yeah, I'm not, you know.
Is this his arc that he's gonna? This is
become,
his arc.
He's gonna become body confident with a hairy belly voiced by Halle Berry, who. Usher, like, insists that he go out and eat people at night.
I mean...
Because one night, he wakes up in the middle of the night and he's walking unbidden. Oh, he's on a call, he's like, what are you doing? And then she's like, you just hear this, feeding time, feed me. And he's like, who's saying that? Who is it?
And he looks down.
Look down,
and
you idiot.
There's like an animatronic belly.
Feed me, you idiot.
Look, the first time this happens is when he's at work.
No, he wakes up in the night.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You think it's a nightmare?
Okay. Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. No, that's perfect.
Because the whole thing is, it's been controlling his body while he was sleeping. This time, he just woke up. Because there was a siren went past or something in the distance. And it's almost in flashes. And it's like, feed me. And he's like, and then he falls back to sleep in a way, like he faints or something, and then wakes up back in his own bed. So that's the first sign we get. And then, like, but these killings still keep happening. Simon Pegg's on a lead. Olivia Colman's been promoted. And things are cracking on. I don't know. We need another a story.
I think being... so, like, Nick Frost is in work and he's like, working on the bodies, and then I've got a fresh one and pulls it out and he's working, and then he hears the voice again, like, feed me. And he's like, what the fuck?
Best Halle Berry impression.
Harry Belly.
Harry
Belly.
Harry Belly. Harry Belly.
Harry Belly.
Harry Belly, played by Halle Berry.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
So he's like, oh, that's... Oh, and he, like, shuts the drawer and kind of, like, is that because knocks all the corridor and he's like, what's going on? And he opens the drawer again and he hears it again and he's just like, oh, shit.
Feed me. Feeding time. Feed me.
And so he's like, hello? Who's that? And he's like trying to like, this isn't funny, guys. It's doing that same it's speech, just, yeah, exact same
that,
speech.
That trope.
Just copy and paste the dialogue.
Come on, guys.
This isn't
no
funny
time.
Simon Pegg's character. I know you probably want to get a scoop for your paper.
Well, like, in a scene before, Simon Pegg's been talking about this this ladies' on where people have been showing up dead in alleyways with yeah. just limbs missing that yeah. just yeah. disappeared. And yeah, he's on a lead. Like, I think it's cannibalism.
Yeah,
because they're just chopping the limbs off and leaving them to die. Then it cuts to the morgue, and this is where like Nick Frost, like he's looking up, like he's preparing one of the bodies. He looks up to like sneeze or whatever, so he takes his eye off the body. looks down. There's an arm in his belly. Just like, oh my god!
And he like, scurries backwards, hits the back of the hits his head on a
pulls
thing.
Pulls the body off the thing.
Like he scurries backwards, hits his head on an open one of those open lockers that they put slides that they put the shelf.
Yeah,
corpse
drawers.
Shelf on. Yeah. He hits his head on one of them, falls down. He's like, what the hell's going on? And she's like, and the body's like fallen onto the floor next to him. this is when basically Halle Berry's like, don't you want to be thin? You don't need to eat at all when I'm not hungry. The reason you're not losing any weight is because I'm so hungry. Maybe it's different. Maybe it's about like him learning to accept his weight because she's encouraging him.
He looks into like a mirror and like pulls a shirt up and is really hesitant about it and like has like, a conversation like, in this mirror, and she's just like,
it's like the Willem Dafoe scene from Spider-Man.
Yeah, but with a belly talking.
It's exactly that.
Apart from he's got his belly out and the animatronic belly.
Word for word.
Hold your thing, got yourself, got you where you are today.
He's walking to the mirror and he's like, who are you? And then just cuts to the mirror of the belly, just sort of like, I'm you. What you want to be.
And I think Simon Pegg knocks on the door at this point, right? Mm. In the middle of this, and he's like, pulls his shirt down, and he's like, oh my god, what? Shh. And Simon Pegg says, I think I've got a lead on.
What were you doing, Nick? Were you masturbating again?
He's like, yeah. Definitely. And Simon Pegg says, I've got a lead. It's more plausible than my belly's talking to me about eating people. Simon Pegg says, I think I've got a lead. Because there's another patch now somewhere in London where, like, it's all been concentrated around this area before. But now there's another area of London that it started happening. But they're both around hospitals. And this is really weird. Like, I don't understand, but this is a lead. I'm thinking there must be some kind of treatment or medical waste or something that's sending people crazy, right?
I'm like an idea of there's a scene where Simon Pegg realizes that it's Nick Frost.
Yeah.
Nick Frost knows that Simon Pegg knows that, like, he's linked like the fact that Nick Frost changed hospitals the same time the killings started getting like that.
I've got another theory about why there's more activity in the hospital. Okay. I've got a theory. So Olivia Colman turned Nick Frost onto this like new diet. Yeah. And with this new diet you have to start taking these special diet pills.
Yeah.
And she's taking the same ones, so they're like in it together, like, oh, having a fun time. Yeah. And that's
Olivia Colman lives near that other hospital.
Yeah, Olivia Colman works in the other hospital. Like, they're friends from like medical school or something.
Right.
So they're working these two other things, and something like, it's hard over there as well. And
And Simon Pegg starts to put things together, and Halle Berry is insistent that Nick Frost eats Simon Pegg.
Yeah, because yeah, there's been like
the ultimate feast.
Like,
it's been like
that's the one. That's like the cordon bleu.
Yeah,
it's the dish you love. The taste.
Well, and to stop
star.
Them, to stop them being found out. She's got to stop the reporter.
I thought it was just really delicious. No.
Make that too.
Just really want to eat him.
Yeah. Simon Pegg is amazingly delicious.
Silencing the truth is the best garnish.
That's the tagline.
Yeah. Oh, that's tasty. Yeah, so it's been like little horrors until this point. Like, he's trying to sort of feeding it bodies from the morgue that he's already dealt with, and he's like just cutting bits off and feeding it. And she's like, this is, I need fresh.
This is a new little shop of horrors, isn't it?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I kind of got those vibes when you started saying, feed me, Nick Frost, feed me.
But, like, so I guess it starts doing away with the people who had problems in Nick Frost's life as well. You think? Like, there are bullies who made in the gym. The reason he couldn't go to the gym was the gym bunny bros were bullying him when he came out of the locker room and stuff. So, and they start disappearing.
He gets, like, I think they start working together, and he gets one on a bench press and just pushes down. while the belly button eats the head of this gym guy. Played by Jeff from Peep Show. You can get
great
scenes like that.
Yeah. And Nick Frost is doing the same thing as, you know, when, you know, in Hot Fuzz, when Nick Frost finds out that his dad's the leader of all this stuff, he's like, no, no, no! Like that. Yeah. He's doing this while all this, like, he's totally not on board, but Halle Berry's kind of controlling him and then.
So, end of second act, Simon Pegg's find out. There's a whole B plot of him sort of trying to figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
And he confronts him in the morgue, just like, do you know anything about these murders that have been happening? They're all... And then Nick Frost is just shaking his head, like, really frantically.
Yeah.
Like, don't. Just whispering, just don't.
She'll find out.
Just don't. And then...
And you hear this, like, a very wet...
Well done, Simon Pegg's character. And Simon Pegg's like, what the fuck is that? And then Nick Frost rolls up his shirt or his scrubs, and Simon Pegg is like, oh my god. And Nick Frost is like, yeah, I'm afraid now you know we've got to eat you. I'm sorry about this. And then, like, the belly button somehow locks the doors.
No, I think Olivia Colman comes in behind Simon
Pegg. Yes.
And that's how they both find out that they have the same thing. That's how they both go, oh, you got it too.
But she's been a lot easier swayed by the belly monster, so she's like really into this as well. Want to eat him.
Anyway, I think that they find out collectively, because I don't... Do they eat him? And we need to find out what happens at the end here. We need to bring it to a close.
I think Simon Pegg jumps out of the window into garbage, so he lands safely.
Right.
Into medical garbage and lands safely somehow. It's just... I think he just chases the... Like, Nick Frost and Olivia Colman chase him up to the top of the car park.
Yeah.
And
then Sam Pegg, like, starts asking... He's backing away to the edge of this car park. He starts asking questions like, Olivia Colman's character, where did you find... How did you come across this diet? Like, what was going on? And she's like, It was one of the drug suppliers that I had never... It was for a fertility treatment. They normally do fertility treatments, but this diet pill, they gave it away as a freebie. They said that we could have it. And then Nick Frost's like, oh no. And then it turns out that they've been inseminating their people's bellies with, like...
alien monsters.
With, like, these weird hybrid human alien monsters.
Oh, sort of parasites. Just
it's never explained, really.
And then Simon Pegg just has, like, an epiphany that all is lost, jumps off the car park, Nick Frost and Olivia Colman, like, they don't fall in love.
But yes,
but the belly button.
They do.
This is, see, my suggestion was going to be that they kill Simon Pegg and the belly buttons eat him, and then they end up having a weird like belly button making out.
Yeah. Oh, like the Lady and the Tramp.
Yeah.
Yeah. Simon Pegg screaming as they sort of share him, as they both consume him from either end, and then kiss, and then there's just an embarrassing look on Nick Frost and Olivia Colman's face. She's like, oh, looks like we're, yeah, and then a heart-shaped vignette goes in on them as cut to
and it
credits.
Goes like, da, 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 da.
The credits theme is yeah. It's
so yeah.
It's
that was belly button.
Belly button. That was quite scary. I mean, it was a weird. It wasn't particularly like it didn't have a good arc, but it had a good like first two acts. Kind of fuzzy on the second act, but we'll do it in the second pass. It's fine.
I can't wait to see the poster. Good luck with that one.
But yeah, so thank you for wow. Thanks for not dying of being eaten by a belly button. But instead, thank you for listening to all of that. Thanks for listening to Belly Button and all the pictures. Hope you're ready for some more Halloween horror for the rest of the month, because this is our theme for the entire month of October. So hopefully you will enjoy us going to various locations and pitching movies with various different people.
Some horror movies all month for the month of Halloween, like we did last year. Halloween month is what we do for October.
Thanks for reiterating that, Tom.
Yeah.
I mean, we would make December Christmas month, but Star Wars is also in December. So, we can do two episodes tops for Christmas.
For Christmas Star Wars.
Chris Wars.
Anyway, so...
thank you guys for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, you're welcome.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show, and... thank you all for listening. I've been Matt Turner.
I've been Tom McGrath.
I've been Jenny Garner.
I've been Katie Lidster.
And until we're all tricked into growing alien symbiotes who kill everyone who are causing issues in our lives by opening up our belly button and consuming them in a gory fashion, remember who pitched it. Bye!
Bye! Bye. Bye.
Whew. Yeah, thanks guys.
A marathon,
it's all right?
Yeah.
Fun time.
Yeah. I mean, thank you for coming on. It was really nice to have another perspective and stuff. I did feel, Tom, maybe we steamrolled a bit there.
A little bit.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to just keep the thing rolling.
Yeah.
We're going to head off, get some coffee. If you just guys want to knock some ideas back and forth for make the script a bit better.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
Edit it down.
We trust you to sort of. You know. You're both fantastic writers in your own right. So write.
We'll see you in a few minutes.
See you in a bit.
Right.
We'll get you. You take a latte, don't you? And you're a cappuccino, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. See you. See you in a bit, guys.
All right. Later. Oh, well, that was some.
Don't know about you, but I'm creatively drained of all my juice.
a veritable drought is happening.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't think I can think of any more terrible torture body horror situations.
I mean, no one's going to listen to them, no one's going to watch them. Let's just leave them as they are.
Yeah.
Hello there, girls!
Oh.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh,
no. What are you guys talking about?
Oh, just the writing we were doing. Do you want to... Trying to read through some of it?
You're not talking about a male?
No.
A male character?
I can't remember what the right answer is. No?
You know what I do to women who don't
two of them in a room and no men present.
Edit them out?
No! I get these spears and I stab them!
That doesn't sound like I would enjoy that. I would rather that you didn't. And you use them to roast marshmallows over this lovely warm fire that we've delightfully prepared for
That's
you.
That's so great. The boys are getting coffees. Let's just
What are you still? What are you still doing talking? I'm stabbing you.
Wow, those really were spikes to watch out for. Just for my little joke, based on the title of the book by Alison Beckman. Just Google it, it's funny, trust me. Anyway, that was a scary one, but it impales in comparison to the next. But you'll have to tune in next week to hear my truly monstrous tale. Only on the Life's a Pitch podcast, Tales from the Script!